I promised some folks that there would be no quiz today, but as Donna was reading the scripture, it struck me. A few months ago, we did a sermon on the parable of the talents. Remember that? And how much four talents were worth? Does anybody remember how much four talents were worth? It was millions of dollars. Four talents was like worth $3.5 million. And this one said how many talents? Man, we're not even listening the first time through. The scripture said, one who owed him 10,000 talents. Yes, that's the reaction I needed you to have. If you've been with us any of the past three Sundays, you may remember that we've been taking a journey through the parables, specifically the parables of Jesus about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, or the reign of God, the empire of God, was really poking the bear. Rome called themselves the Roman Empire. And what Jesus is saying is there's a different empire. There's a different sheriff. And it's about God, not about Rome. The reign of God, the kingdom of God, was the number one subject of Jesus in the Gospels. It was the priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of. And you may also remember that we've been saying week after week that in the Gospel of Matthew, the phrase kingdom of God is interpreted the kingdom of heaven because it's trying not to say God's name. Matthew, being a Jewish writer, says the kingdom of the one who lives in heaven, not going to say God's name, not even going to say the word God. And we've been talking about what different parables tell us about the kingdom so that we can get a better understanding of what the kingdom of God is. And it feels like we only get hints. Each of the parables kind of points us in the right direction and excludes some things. But we know so far that it's characterized by a harvest of miraculous abundance, incredible joy. It has value greater than all our possessions. And there is no reason for us to wonder who's in and who's out, since it's entirely God's decision. This week, we're reading and reflecting on the parable of the unmerciful servant. I like to call it forgiveness by the numbers. Does anyone here struggle with forgiveness? You can't just go, and think I'm going to pass that by. This is yes. You know how this works. This is no. Anybody here struggle with forgiveness? For some of us, it's a struggle about forgiving ourselves. Anybody else have that issue, or is that just me? Sometimes it's harder to forgive myself than it is to forgive everybody else. And then I realize I'm treating myself worse than I treat other people. Have you forgiven everyone? Ooh. Preacher's starting to get a little nosy now. Have you forgiven yourself? Have you felt forgiven when somebody asks you for forgiveness? Have you offered that forgiveness? This parable itself starts in verse 23, but it is so tied to the verses just before it with the phrase, for this reason. Just before the parable, there's this short exchange, and it changes the dynamic, the flow. Peter's suggestion that a person be forgiven seven times was generous by Jewish standards. Jewish teachers of the day taught that a person must be forgiven three times, but not four. Jesus responds, 77. Three, not four. And Jesus says 77 or 70 times seven. We're not quite sure how that reads in the ancient text. In some cases, it was expected that the person would demonstrate some level of repentance by attempting restitution. But by suggesting the number 7, Jesus is reminding his listeners, especially in Matthew, who would have gotten this very clearly, that the number 7 has special significance to the Jews. And Peter is essentially getting told by Jesus, you are held to a different standard than the world. There's a higher ethic. This kingdom we're talking about is going to be different than normal daily life. There's a boast in Genesis 4 from Lamech who said essentially about retribution and about killing folks to have wronged him. And so, and it talks about there being a 77 times forgiveness. And some scholars think that Jesus was reversing this cry for infinite revenge by substituting a call for infinite forgiveness. You thought it was hard to do what you have to deal with now, but if Jesus told you, look you dead in the face and says, I mean everyone, every time. How many of us are going to bow our head and suck and go away because I can't even do it for the second time for some folks? You're supposed to learn your lesson. We often present this parable as an example of what it is to be a negative example. Don't be like the unmerciful servant. The key to this parable for me is it parallels the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This guy is forgiven more than 15 years worth of debt. He was a slave for more than 15 years, and for more than 15 years he's been riding scot-free, and he begs and he pleads and he's given a free pass. And let me remind you, if they were celebrating the year of Jubilee every 7 years, debt should have been erased. So this person had gone through 2 cycles of year of Jubilee and still hadn't been forgiven. The servant is owed 100 days' wages. It's such a small sum compared to what he was forgiven, but it is a lot of money for a slave. We're doing pretty well compared to slaves. And I don't know if any of us could go for 100 days without getting our paycheck. The struggle for us humans is that our ego, our small self, does not forgive easily or naturally. It's not part of our DNA mix. In our most mature relationships, we can establish the right kind of boundaries and forgive, and we strike just the right balance. But it is hard to do forgiveness. I think that's why Jesus was so clear. We can't let ourselves off the hook. We have to keep working on forgiving more and more. William Willimon, a bishop in the United Methodist Church, wrote in one of the magazines that he would put together for preachers, the human animal is not supposed to be good at forgiveness. Forgiveness is not some innate, natural human emotion. Vengeance, retribution, violence, these are natural human qualities. It is natural for the human animal to defend itself, to snarl and crouch into a defensive position when attacked, to howl when wronged, to bite back when bitten. Forgiveness is not natural. It is not a universal human virtue. Our own internal struggle may sound an awful lot like, Lord, forgive me, but why should I forgive Mark or Mary? How can I forgive myself? If I were God, I would not forgive me. Or we may say something like, forgive me, Lord, because I'm not near as bad as. Once again, we fall in this trap of comparison and judging others. Judge not, lest ye be judged with the same judgment with which we judge. We judge poorly. We can't see motives or understand someone's past or history. I think sooner or later we ask deep questions about forgiveness, about God's forgiveness and about God's command to forgive others, which make us squirm. Does this mean God will forgive the person who killed my father? That would make me squirm. Does this mean I have to forgive the person who killed or raped? Does this mean I have to let them keep lying to me or cheating on me and keep forgiving them over and over? What do you think? Have we ever pleaded for forgiveness from someone and then not forgiven someone else for something less significant? No, I'm sure not us. We're always consistent. Forgiveness is hard. In this parable, Jesus pushes the limits. Essentially tells us not to count anymore. See, that fits with Paul in Corinthians. Love does not keep record of wrongs. Maybe this all fits together somehow. It more exactly illustrates the forgiveness petition of the Lord's Prayer and Jesus' characteristic teaching that only a forgiving person understands and can receive forgiveness. Jesus uses absurd numbers to make his point. Keeping score in matters of forgiveness is not only ridiculous, it is harmful. It's harmful to the person, not just to the person that we are resentful and angry at, but it's harmful to us. We've been saying this over and over, and we have to keep saying this over and over. Forgiveness heals your heart. It puts you in a place where you're open to God. The fact is, in matters of forgiveness, the person who keeps score is the biggest loser. Let me say that one more time. In matters of forgiveness, the person who keeps score at all is the biggest loser. Forgiveness, as hard as it is sometimes to forgive ourselves and a person close to us who has caused us such deep and endless pain, is a central part of God's plan for us. And I'm not saying that you stay in relationships of abuse and just keep forgiving. I am not saying that. I don't believe Jesus was saying that. If you are in harm's way or in an abusive situation, get out of there. Set up appropriate boundaries. That's not what God's plan is for us. Seek first the kingdom of God. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is not optional for us if we seek the kingdom of God. That's a hard word to hear, isn't it? Forgiveness is not optional for us if we seek to be in the kingdom of God. It is central. It is critical. And this tells us a little bit more about the kingdom of God. It's not about power and control and domination. It's not about being right or saying the right things. It is about being in relationship with each other and with God. It's about being in restored relationships, not perfect relationships, but in relationships. It's not about a place, this kingdom. It can be right here. And it's not always in the future, because you can experience it right now. When you get the bread and dip it in the cup, it should be as if you are fresh, clean, restored, right with God. Fully forgiven. That's what the grace is. That's what it means to take Christ's cup. God forgives us, and we forgive others. That's how it works. And I must admit, I hope I can remember that tomorrow too. God already knows our ways, our biases, our urges, our tendencies, our defaults, and God invites us into a new, deeper consciousness and way of living. Grudges and joy do not go together. So what is the most important message that faith has to tell in a world that is filled with vengeance and bitterness and violence? I believe the word that God has for us today in the world we live in is a message of forgiveness. If we truly seek the kingdom of God, we must find a way to forgive and to be forgiven. Our oneness with God depends on it. Forgiveness is God's prescription, God's antidote to that stuckness that we feel. Let God help you forgive. God shows us how to do that. Sometimes it's painful, but God offers forgiveness. Jesus gives us a better and higher vision. And my prayer is that God grants us enough grace to at least allow a seed of forgiveness to take root in our hearts today, so that God's love and healing and reconciling power might grow inside us and become the cornerstones of the kingdom, the world we begin to build from this day forward. Amen. Amen. In response to God's word about forgiveness, God's challenge to us about forgiveness, I invite you to stand and repeat with me our affirmation of faith as we respond to God's love. Imagine somebody, it's simple to imagine, because every once in a while we hear the news where somebody goes into Walmart and pays off somebody's rain checks at Christmas time. Imagine if somebody said to you, in year two of your mortgage, I got that. Did you just experience a little joy? 15 years worth of debt God erases in this parable. I want you to recite with me the affirmation of faith, knowing full well that God has erased for me 46 and a half years worth of quality debt. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.